All right, so we had started off Genesis 25 2 weeks ago, and so if you could open up to Genesis 25, we're going to continue on. We had gotten up to verse 11, and who remembers what we were talking about two Sundays ago? Yeah, Abraham had another wife, had some other sons, and what happened with those sons? Anybody remember? Dispatch, yeah, that's one way to put it. They were sent away without an inheritance. Now, they weren't sent away with nothing.
No.
They were sent away with gifts. But basically, and why is that going on? Why were these other sons being sent away?
They're not part of the promise.
They're not part of the promise, right?
They're concentrating on the lineage.
Yeah, and so who does the promise go through? Isaac, right? And so we saw earlier on, we had Ishmael, Abraham's first son, and he got sent away with nothing. And because he was the oldest, it was kind of a communication, you are not part of the inheritance. And now we see these younger sons, they do get sent away with gifts, but they don't have any real true claim to the inheritance because they are not the oldest. And then we saw the death of Abraham as well, right? We saw that he lived to a good old age of 175. Anybody here want to do that?
No.
That was pretty quick no there, Lorraine.
That was a way no.
Way no, yeah. And then kind of to end things off in verse 11, we saw that after his death, God had blessed Isaac, his son, and Isaac settled in Beer Lahai Roy. And so we see that the blessing has now passed on to Isaac, right? Where the blessing was upon Abraham, now the blessing is upon Isaac. And so we're going to pick up our story from there. In verse 12, one other point too, and this will tie into what we're talking about today, is at the death of Abraham, who else was at his funeral?
Ishmael
was, right? And so we're kind of reminded again that Abraham does have this other son. And it leads us into verse 12. It says, "These are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's servant, bore to Abraham. These are the names of the sons of Ishmael, named in the order of their birth. Nebaioth, the firstborn of Ishmael, and Kedar, Abdil, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Mesa, Hadad, Tima, Jetur, Nefish, and Kedema. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their villages and their encampments. 12 princes according to their tribes. These are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. He breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. They settled from Havilah to Shur, which is opposite Egypt in the direction of Assyria. He settled over against all his kinmen." All right, so a few things to go over here is, one, we're given another genealogy, right? And what is the book of Genesis about? Genealogies, right? And so anytime we see a genealogy in Genesis, it should, ring a bell to us. Okay, this is important. I know we see all these names that we can't pronounce, and sometimes we're like, oh, this is the boring part of Scripture, right? But it's actually the important part.
I was going to say, now if you're trying to do your family tree, it's not boring.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, and so we're given this genealogy of Ishmael, but why the genealogy of Ishmael? Why is that given?
The promise was fulfilled with the 12 princes, the 12 tribes for Ishmael.
Okay, so we have 12 princes for Ishmael, and we saw that earlier on, right? It was actually prophesied. If you turn back to, where is it, Genesis 17. Verse 20. And this is when God's speaking to Abraham about how he's going to give a son through Sarah. And that's where the inheritance, and you know, Abraham said, you know, in verse 18, Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." And he's like, we already got this figured out, God. And God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him and as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation." And so we see there's a promise for Ishmael as well, because he is a son of Abraham. And so this is, it kind of foreshadows something for us as well. What does this foreshadow for us? We're going to have the 12 sons of Jacob, yeah. But just thinking about Ishmael and not being a part of the inheritance yet receiving a blessing.
All nations will be blessed.
All nations shall be blessed through Abraham. Yeah. And we see greater fulfillment of that in the New Testament when the gospel goes out to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are grafted into Israel. And so this is, it's important, this genealogy, even though we can't pronounce these names correctly, and we try our best. But this also shows us, too, the faithfulness of God, right? That even though it wasn't in God's plan for Ishmael to be born, this was a son out of human will. God, he shows us mercy, right? He grants us blessings even when we are unfaithful to his will. And so this was a lack of faith that Abraham and Sarah had in God. That was the whole reason for Ishmael. Yet even in that lack of faith, God demonstrates his blessings to us. And we see this in his blessing of Ishmael and his 12 sons, right? He makes them princes. And so it seems like they each had their own city.
I would say God covers over my stupidity.
Yeah.
And he does frequently. But he does. He covers up the most stupidity for sure.
Yeah, yeah. He looks out for us better than any mother or father ever could. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And where does Ishmael and his descendants, where do they end up settling?
Arabia.
Direction of Assyria, yeah. And so, yeah, that region kind of heading towards, you know, from Egypt towards Assyria. So it'd probably be, northeast? yeah.
I think being that Hagar was Egyptian, it's interesting that they settled opposite in the Egypt instead of in Egypt, and also as he settled over against all his kinsmen.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think one thing that God was doing with Ishmael was he was establishing him as his own nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so to settle in Egypt, that wouldn't work.
No.
You know, they'd have to fight a lot of wars to make their own nation there.
Yeah.
What does this mean? What is this saying? You know, he settled over against all his kinsmen.
And would his kinsmen then be Egyptians?
It could be.
Against is what's...
Yeah. And this verse actually had... There's some questions about the translation of this verse.
Oh.
The word against, it can mean against, it can mean with as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're unsure how to translate this verse right. But... Yeah, if it's with his kinsmen, then maybe there were some other Egyptians that were living in that region. If it's against, maybe he did have some squabbles with some other Egyptians in that area.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little uncertain what's going on in this verse.
We know that God didn't waste words.
No.
And so there's some significance to that sentence.
Yeah, there is. I would say the big significance is that there's something going on with his kinsmen there.
Mm-hmm.
That's
huge insight right there.
No, it's not. I know. and that's, you know, we need to pray for God for more insight.
I always took it to mean next to.
It could mean next to, yeah.
Well, there's a reference, cross-reference here, kind of to 16, verses 16, 11, 12.
Uh-huh.
So, prophecy says in that angel of the Lord said, there's a little bit of pregnant, you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He should be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that explains what I do.
No, but that's a very good referent. Yeah, and so we do see, if you take the context of what's going on there, you know, what kind of man Ishmael was, a wild donkey of a man.
And I think one translation says his hand will be forever raised against his kinsmen.
Yeah.
I think that's King James, and that's positive. But
yeah.
There would be a feud for sure.
Yeah.
In my translation here, it says there's a superscript after the word settled. And it says Hebrew fell. So if you change it, he fell over against all his kinsmen.
Hmm.
He did fall out. He fell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at this, we got the word out.
Yeah.
He fell out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this maybe this is our homework assignment, right? Take this home and try to figure out what is God actually trying to communicate to us when he says he settled over against all his kinsmen.
I think Bobby's on his own.
Yeah, he could be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so maybe there was some strife.
Yeah. As predicted.
Yeah.
Before he was born.
Yeah, and there may be future strife too between the Israelites and his offspring.
Maybe today even?
Maybe even today. Yeah.
Wouldn't there be a connection between where Scripture talks about Jesus as being the kinsman redeemer and Ishmael, that all those under his line would be against Christ and all who are in Christ?
Yeah, the kinsman redeemer, that's kind of a referent to the story of Ruth and Boaz, because Boaz is shown as a kinsman redeemer for both Ruth and Naomi. And so, you know, but in the same sense, yeah, he is the redeemer of all, you know, Jew and Gentile alike. Yeah.
I find it interesting, too, how, isn't it Islam who traced their lineage back to Ishmael?
Yeah, they'll...
And you see the opposition of Islam to the Christian faith.
Yeah, yeah, and...
As the enemies.
Yeah.
The enemies.
Yeah, and so, yeah, like Lorraine was saying, there's probably still strife today.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Let's read a little further. Verse 19, it says, "These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham fathered Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Padam Aram, the sister of Laban, the Aramean, to be his wife. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived." We'll stop there for a moment. Again, we have this word generations, right? And so, again, we need to be thinking in the back of our mind, okay, we're talking about genealogies, generations, and now we're done with Ishmael. We're going to move on to Isaac, the son of promise. And so here we discover how old Isaac was when he got married, right? And how old was he? 40. And so he was no spring chicken, right? And so here we have Isaac. He's, and we read the story of him and Rebekah. But what's going on with Rebekah?
Same thing with Sarah. I mean,
yeah.
They were barren.
Yeah, she's barren. How does Isaac respond to Sarah's or to Rebecca's barrenness?
Praise.
He prays. What does this tell us about the kind of man Isaac is?
Different than Abraham.
In some ways, yes. In some ways, no.
Yeah.
He may have learned from his father's mistakes, right? I'm sure Abraham prayed to God for Sarah even before Ishmael was born. But, yeah, we see Isaac is doing things a little different than his dad.
He's obviously a man of faith.
He's a man of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And remember, when he first saw Rebekah, what was he doing?
Mm-hmm. Meditating.
He was meditating in the field, mm-hmm. right? And so he was a man of faith. He was a man who had that relationship with God. And now he is asking God for help. And what does God do for him? Yeah, he granted his prayer. Now, I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit. If you look at verse 26, we see how old Isaac was when his sons were born. It says, "Afterward, his brother came out, holding his hand, holding Esau's heel, so that his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them." So how long were they married before they had kids? 20 years. It's a long time, isn't it? Could you be patient for 20 years if you're trying to build a family?
And up there in verse 21, it makes it sound like the granted prayer was
It does, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we don't get this detail until further down. That's why I'm jumping a little bit.
God is already talking about two, you know, within her womb.
Yeah.
And they're going to struggle. And it took 20 years before they were even born.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and so it kind of gives you a little time frame of what's going on here. And so, you know, I can imagine after the first few years, they're probably frustrated. And but then what about after 5 years? You know, be like, is this ever going to happen? After 10 years, maybe you start thinking in the back of the mind, well, my dad did get a maidservant. Should I go that route? Oh, but that just caused trouble. I have issues with my brother, after 15 years, what are you thinking? Well, maybe it's just not in the works and we do need to try something else. He was patient for 20 years. 20 years.
I wonder if we know that the Holy Spirit was alive and well in the Old Testament, because the Spirit comes on, you know, we're told the Spirit comes on. We're not told that here, but
yeah.
Usually when there's a delay, God is doing things mm-hmm. in preparation for.
Sure.
And we also know that Scripture says a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. And I just can't help but thinking that there's something going on in the lives of Rebecca and Isaac in preparation for
yeah.
what is going to take place.
Yeah.
It's going to be no small deal.
Yeah, and there's a lot of truth there, Lorraine. I think God is working in the lives of both Isaac and Rebecca. He's trying to teach them something. What would he be teaching them?
Same thing he's teaching us.
Same thing he's teaching us?
Yeah.
Patience.
Patience.
Endurance.
Endurance.
Trust.
Faith. Yeah.
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 You know,
yeah. Because, yeah. You know, the stigma of not having children back then in particular was very big. So there was a lot of disappointment, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, too, Isaac, he knows the promise, right? Like the covenant has come upon him. It is passed down to him. And so he knows that God needs to make a nation out of him. So he does have this promise. And yet God makes him wait 20 years. And we see this a lot in Scripture. Do we not? Of the barren woman. Having
Elizabeth and Zechariah.
Yep. And I think what's going on here is God is instilling within Isaac that trust, but he's teaching him too that this promise needs to be accomplished by me and not by you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's the other thing I think he's teaching both Isaac and Rebecca here is that the promise comes through God and God alone.
It's the same with us. We've talked about salvation happens at regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's this sanctifying process. And then there's the glorification where all that we've anticipated
yeah.
is realized.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a lot of that going on right here.
Yeah.
There's an anticipation that's building, because if we have faith in the truth of, for instance, us and the resurrection day for us, there's an anticipation, there's a building, there's a preparation, really, mm-hmm. of that day. And so possibly, and besides that, I think it was gracious that God told them about the children so that they have a picture of what's going to happen.
Yeah, and we'll get to that. We're going to close off here today. We'll get to that next week. But, yeah, but there's, it definitely is. It's
real.
You know, we need to understand the same thing about our own lives, is that God's plan of blessing, God's plan of salvation to us, it comes from Him alone. He needs to work a miracle in our lives in order to rescue us. And that's what He does.
If it were not so, would I have told you?
Yeah.
That I go to prepare a place for you. So.
Yeah. All right. Any thoughts or questions on this before we close in prayer?
Seems like Isaac learned his lesson well when he was a kid. The near sacrifice and resulting dependence on God to provide for them. And so here later on in his life, again, it seems a hopeless situation, perhaps. But he is remaining dependent on God to provide the way. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting because he went through a lot early on in life, and God used that to prepare him for this trial, this struggle. And now Isaac's not perfect. You know, he's sinful just like we are, but he definitely demonstrates great patience and great faith in God in these 20 years that he had to wait. He should be commended for that. All right, let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word and thank you for the truth that it speaks to us. Lord, and we thank you for Isaac and Rebecca and their example of patience and trust in you, Lord. And God, we live in a world where patience is very, very lacking. We want everything immediately, and Lord, we ask that you would instill within us patience, and Lord, that we might trust in what you're doing in our lives, that it will eventually bear fruit one day. And so be with us today. Give us strength that we need through your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.